Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Live Love Memphis Group, they are the team that can get that home sold for you. And they'll get it sold for you top dollar. Jennifer Carson sends what she does, and she's done it now for years. She's done it in every market. Did it for me back in 2018. She's still doing it in this market in 2025. Don't let that non-Live Love sign sit out in your yard for so long because you've got it priced wrong. Your realtor's got it. They've got the whole thing wrong. They thought they could get more than they could. Don't let that be your story. Let Jennifer Carsonson get it right from the get-go. Call her up, 901-625-5200. Told you back in 2018 she changed my life, and that's no exaggeration. She can do it for you. Just give her the chance. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Frank the Tank Bonner is going to join us in studio at 125.
Excellent.
Frank, take it to the bank, Bonner. Frank, not Dawana Bonner, is going to join us. I don't know why I'm giving him like the middle name with the in the quotations, but it's I'm having fun with it. You know,
I see.
I'm
trying to give him a nickname.
Frank Ratchet and Clank Bonner.
What sticks? He's a smooth cat, man. I'm eager to get him in the studio.
He
I don't
is.
Think we've had the honor of having him. Have we?
No, not in studio. You know, he deserves. You know, the kind of year we hope that Memphis will have, because he's covered some. Some tough ones, you know, over there. He's been here for about, what, 3-4 years?
So. Not as tough as old Stukenborg, but yes.
No,
I
right.
suppose so.
No,
Stuk had it the roughest.
He did.
Man.
Wow.
And it was a great service, you know, covering those teams through those years.
Man, you ain't never lie, bro. You right about
Stuk did it so Frank could.
Run for walking. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Stukenborg in there like Shawshank Redemption.
For real, dude. Having to write that loss every week because that's what it was going to be.
A program that had no investment, no ambition.
He did see, I mean, I suppose the Tommy West and the kind of, you got to do better.
It was brief.
You got to do better.
It was brief. Yeah. And then it got right back to sucking after that.
So
yeah.
Frank's kind of got it good compared to old
You make up a good, I don't want to sit here and play the violin for Frank. He don't know struggle.
That's right.
He don't know what it means.
What it took. To get here.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, you're right. You bring like yeah, they got like millions of dollars to give their players and stuff. Like them folks weren't getting a Lunchable back then. Somehow still got players though. Like Dontari Poe came here.
They get Poe.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes really I mean Bobby McCain.
A lot of them too were like walk ons though that we convert, like Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Started out a walk on.
The Fuente years definitely were.
Right.
I mean, Larry did get some dudes,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't coach, or at least here he couldn't coach.
Yeah, well, that's
I know y'all get upset when I say
no,
that.
No, you said what we take, which is, and you gave us. He didn't leave the cupboard bare.
No,
there
he did not.
Still some things for Fuente to work with.
But I remember there was a
because he was a recruiter.
I was about to do some. This is back. I've told this story before, but I was about to do some, some media work with Larry, and we were about to get ready to do the interview and. I was like, Arkansas State, man, you got a rivalry coming up. And this is off camera, but Larry looked at me like I was an idiot. And he said, Arkansas State ain't no rivalry. What is wrong with you? And then what happened that year? Man, it was as if Hugh Freeze was in the room. Mm-hmm. It was as if he had bugged me. And Memphis went on to lose 47-3 in old Jonesboro. And I guess he was right. It was not a rivalry.
Well, we loved it so much, we wanted to create a long-lasting rivalry that will last many, many years, John. We've scheduled them, and we're going to get to see a lot of more Jonesboro.
It's so stupid. So stupid. I mean, you should be able to get out of that for like $30,000. I mean, come on. How much could it possibly cost? But old Billy Foster only had 46 yards on the ground that game. Tough one. When you couldn't get Billy Foster going, you just knew it was going to be a long day for the Tigers. But anyway, this is not about that. This is not a dump on Larry Day. He's still coaching. I believe he's at West Virginia now.
So, I mean, he's had a heck of a career as an assistant recruiter.
Yes, yes. He's just about
all over the country.
That he has always been fantastic at.
Yeah.
He's the running backs coach at West Virginia. I mean, he's been everywhere, man. He went to Arizona State, Texas, North Carolina, two different times. So, I mean,
was he at LSU?
Beforehand, right?
And had been recruiter of the year or something like
that?
I mean,
yes, that's what got him the gig here.
Exactly.
Is that he had sort of built that at LSU.
That's why you underestimate Arkansas State. You know, he's bringing those recruiter of the year chops. And
that's right.
It was a setup.
But you realize, like, at that time, it was a lot easier to get kids to LSU than it was to Memphis.
Yeah. And I can't just get these kids here. I got to coach them.
That's right.
And, you know. That's right. We know the story there.
Exactly. Anyway, we have a lot to get to on the show today. Let's do a little thing we call the rundown. I'm a man. I'm fired. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State football coach. Been there forever, man. I mean, he has been the head coach at Oklahoma since 2005. All right? Well, think about what you were doing in 2005. I mean, that's crazy. Fired. After 20 years, a 170-90 record, one Big 12 championship, three-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, Paul Bear Bryant Award winner in 2011, member of the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, has been fired after losing to Tulsa in humiliating fashion. Any loss to
– can't lose Tulsa.
Yeah, any loss, doesn't matter how it happens, it's going to be embarrassing. But Mike Gundy is out after a 19-12 loss to the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. You know, listen, I'm not surprised. It's kind of been trending the wrong way there for the last, you know, couple of seasons.
Redid his contract coming into this year too as a result of his slide back.
That's right. I guess, you know, they did win 10 games in 2023, but they lost 9 last year. They're heading the wrong way this year. And it just kind of feels like, since NIL, that he really hasn't had that thing going. I don't know why, because, you know, you're supposed to have all this money in the world with T. Boone Pickens. But if you just compare, like, what Oklahoma State was doing, for example, in the early 2010s, you know, 11-2, 12-1, 10-3, 10-3, 10-3, you know, finishing the season ranked. And that just became more and more, you know, rare. I mean, they were seventh. They finished seventh in 2021. But ever since then, they had the one winning season in 2023. But it's just, again, it's kind of the trend, right? You're just kind of identifying like where the thing is going. And when you've been there for 20 years, it's probably time just for a new voice. I don't think Mike Gundy is going to be terribly surprised by this decision. You know, again, he's if you count his assistant time, I mean, The dude has been there for basically his entire life. I mean, he started coaching there in 1990, did that through 1995, did a year at Baylor, went to Maryland for 3 years, came back in 2001, and has been there since as an assistant or a head coach. So, like, his whole entire coach career basically has been at Oklahoma State. And he gets it, I think. You just have to sometimes get a new voice in there. I'm sure they'll put him in a cush if he wants it, ambassador job like Bruce Pearl or something. But, you know, almost 300 games coached, 102-72 in the Big 12. I mean, I know they didn't get anyone a championship, but, like, you would say that was a pretty damn good run for Mike Gundy.
Well, I mean, why he was there so long. Why they were willing, even after, you know, last year's debacle, to give him to redo the contract, but keep him and not fire him last year. That's, you know, that based on what he'd achieved there. That said, it's what you said. This is a guy who could not adjust. He couldn't adjust in the new way. And there are plenty of coaches who sort of do it out of fear, right? We've kind of talked about this before in terms of what you use, the way you coach these student athletes. Nick Saban's a guy like that, but Nick Saban, I think, adjusted with the times. We know that. We certainly know it about his offenses. And I think Mike Gundy didn't. And I think especially his style, you know, that break you down verbally, whatever, tear you down. I don't know. Now, again, there are coaches who still do it, but probably are willing to adjust in the other areas in a way that Mike Gundy wasn't. And in this day and age, dude, when you're barking at, you know, tearing somebody down verbally, and they can just transfer out of there on you and go get a check somewhere else, and the check has become the most important thing, I just wonder, again, does it, you know, it's dilute your coaching style in a way. Now, these guys aren't going to stick around for you and let you tear them up for 2-3 years so you can, by year three, they're ready to play for you. You're not doing that anymore. So, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall. Like you said, the voice had gotten stale. And when you need to fundraise and get people behind you,
that's right.
And you ain't saying, "Hey, we need this NIL now." It's the most important thing, because Mike Gundy didn't feel that way. He thought he'd just coach football.
Yep,
that doesn't work. And so it was inevitable. He's probably lucky he got back to this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they made him. I think he replaced both coordinators. Yep. So it was sort of a, "This is it. Here's the redone contract. Here's your two new coordinators. Better go win." And he has. You lose to Tulsa, you're out. So I'm not surprised. And but that said. Very successful coach for a long run at Oklahoma State.
And I would just say, like, you know, there's probably – like, the next guy's probably not going to be as good. I mean, Mike Gundy did something that, like, rarely happened at Oklahoma State. Like, he won consistently. So I do think there's a pretty high likelihood that there will be a drop-off, just, you know, generally. But that doesn't mean that it still wasn't time. Because you don't want to get into a situation where, like, you're just kind of spinning your wheels with this guy because he's been there for 20 years. Like,
you got to play the game. You got to get a coach who's at least going to bring the energy to it and say, "I will play the game."
Yes,
right?
Yes. And I'm not, like, intimately familiar, you know, with the inner workings there. I don't know, like, what's going on behind the scenes. But I mean, just, you could just tell, the results will tell you, you know, that the program has kind of been eroding under Mike Gundy for the last several years.
He's been screaming about it, right? I mean, publicly saying they don't have enough, but that said, that doesn't, you know, that's not going to flip it. And it's not an excuse anymore.
Yep.
You know, people expect that to be part of your job.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't, but to your point, what the ceiling is in terms of investment level for Oklahoma State football, I do not know.
Yes.
You know, who could come in there and go ahead and get them to start, you know, writing those checks again.
Because
clearly they had stopped coming in.
People are, you know, talking about just the new era in college football because, I mean, Gundy's been there since 2005, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, you think about it, you know, Gundy's out, Saban's out, Urban Meyer's out, Jim Tressel's out, Mac Brown's out, Stoops is out, Spurrier's out, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Jimbo Fisher's out, Les Miles is out, Harbaugh's coaching the damn Chargers.
Now, we think, you and I think, if Saban had adjusted enough, he could have survived.
Saban was doing just fine. Yeah, he did adjust.
He went out on, you know, he adjusted.
Didn't he win the title? He didn't win a title after, no, he played in it, I think, but I don't think he won. It was against Georgia that he lost it. I can't remember if he won a championship after the NIL era. I know he got Bryce back. Yeah, he won in 2020. And that was the last one against Ohio State. So that was just before NIL.
It was.
But yeah, I mean, he I think he could have adjusted. He decided he wanted to. Yeah, he's like,
right.
I don't want to.
I don't think Gundy's one of those guys that could adjust.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why we're here.
And he did win the SEC West every year after NIL, so we'll give him that.
Yeah, dude.
Didn't win the title, but he won the SEC West every single year after NIL. So, anyway, it's I'm not going to shed tears for Mike Gundy. He's there for 20 years. He had plenty of time. He did some really good things. You know, obviously, it's crazy that, like, the all those games and all those years, the thing that people are going to remember most about this man was something that he did off the field. You know, which maybe is more about the problem. But you know, again, one of the faces of college football coaching. I think the next guy is going to have a hard time, just naturally.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you got to sort of wonder, like, if he had to take less to help with revenue sharing this year. That doesn't necessarily bode well for the future of their program.
Doesn't feel like it.
So, you know, tough conference, tough time, but still, you got to do what you got to do. You got to, as an athletic department, you know, You have to have ambition, and you can't just say, because this guy's been here, he created this in many ways, like that. You don't just give him the reign no matter what. He hasn't won a championship, so it's not like it's been that damn good. But a great run, I would say, for Oklahoma State. And, you know, now Mike Gundy have to decide, do I want to coach somewhere? Do I want to go in TV? You know, he'll probably have some options.
TV?
I think so, yeah. He's an interesting guy. Somebody will give him a shot, I think. Maybe he won't be good, but he'll get a shot from somebody, you know, like Big Noon Kickoff or something.
Fine, I was going to say Fox Big Noon Kickoff.
He's probably not posh enough for ESPN.
I don't know. Urban might say, hey, this is mine. Stay away.
Yeah, they're paying.
No, he's their face.
Yeah.
In terms of the coaching.
Well, Mike's got the Mullen stuff. He might be like a Barstool guy.
That makes more sense.
I would say.
What is it? Or? What's that channel that he, remember the shirt?
Oh, the news, the One News Network
or
something.
Yeah, go there.
One American Network or something.
Yeah. That was it.
Him and Bruce
O-A-N.
Pearl.
I said or.
Him and Bruce Pearl go me on that thing, bro. They have a show together. They call it the Coach's Corner.
That's a whole other story. That popped yesterday. Get to talk to you about that.
But maybe we'll do that. You know, as a separate thing. But because I do think there's a lot to touch on with that. But Mike Gundy is out, and it will not be his son taking over.
Before we get to Pearl or anything else, there's some breaking news in the NFL. John alluded to it. The Giants are making the switch. We knew at some point it would happen. Brian Daboll and crew would make the switch from Russell Wilson to former Ole Miss star Jackson Dart, first-round pick and rookie, and they've done it now after three games. Dart's first start going to come Sunday against the undefeated Chargers. That's worth a revisit on that conversation, too. They have continued to look good. He was the 25th overall pick. We talked about it out of Ole Miss, and it feels like the locker room has been behind him since the preseason, so I'm kind of eager to see what he's going to look like. If you figure there's going to be a lot of nervous energy early. But this is something we've anticipated for a while. We said it wouldn't happen too early because it was Daboll and Shane, the general manager, sort of their save our jobs card. If that can still be done to this point, it feels like Dable's lost some of the locker room already, maybe as a result of not making the switch, going the first three games with Russ. But you weren't going to make the switch even after a loss, after he throws for 450 yards. Did you see this performance, though, this past weekend?
Yes.
The guy was missing throws left and right, basically giving up, still when he had enough protection in the pocket, bailing out with throws out the back of the end zone. I mean, the receivers were giving up on him. They're like, this guy's giving up, so why am I running these routes? You can no longer have him out there.
Yep.
And call yourself a leader of men if you were Daboll. So the switch had to happen. Jackson Dart, he looked great in the preseason, made plays. He can obviously use the legs in a way Russell Wilson cannot. The Giants have got a solid defense. I thought it was going to be great this year. I said solid with the chance to be good. If Jackson Dart can get in there and sort of move the needle, man, they got a rah-rah, run-you-over guy in Cam Scataboo. That dude was effective this week.
Yep.
And so if Jackson can bring that energy and give that dual threat that he brings to the table, you know, give defensive coordinators a little something different to plan for. You know what Russell's going to do. He's going to drop back and throw the moon ball on. You just get back there. Perhaps he can inject some life with this thing. I do wonder whether it's too far gone, though, for Daboll. Maybe Jackson Dart can come in, be a revelation. They finish, I don't know, third in the NFC East, and it saves Daboll, but I don't know. It's been pretty shaky ground. I'm not sure if Jackson can say, but that said, they should get better quarterback play than what they've seen. And don't throw it. Russell Wilson did that against the Dallas Cowboys defense, who we've seen be bad, maybe the worst defense in the league. So clearly, Russ was bad for the three games for the most part.
Yeah, I mean,
had to make the change.
You said it. It was so abysmal.
Oh,
the way he was playing, especially. I mean, they had chances in the red zone, you know,
against KC. Yes, yeah. Yes,
and,
dude. Yes,
and he. I don't know what that dude was doing. I don't know where he was throwing it. I don't know why he was, you know, I can't explain it. I'm glad I had Chiefs minus six, but
I felt like it was the end of his career.
Yes.
Who's going to watch that and say he still got it? The dude looked like he didn't want to be hit and was bailing out.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
When vets start doing that, it's over for him.
That's what Tom Brady was doing against the Cowboys. He was throwing it in the dirt, remember?
At the end.
There's two things it says. One is, yes, Russ's career is over, no doubt. Second thing is, Dallas Cowboys probably have the worst defense in the NFL.
There's no probably to it. Look at what they did for Caleb.
Yeah.
I mean, the Russ threw for 450. What do we do against it? Like, they're a joke defensively, and you traded away one of the best defense players in the league before the season.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like that's it.
Now, Jerry says they're still a playoff team once they get that defense together.
Well, I don't know if
defense
that's
an absolute mess.
I'm not sure that's possible. I'm not sure it's possible that they can get the defense together. That's the issue. And now they got to play the Packers on Sunday night, like off a loss.
Packers, who antenna, right, exactly, whose antenna are back up because they already put themselves up on the pedestal. Michael's talking about Super Bowl and undefeated seasons.
How about them
Browns?
How about them, dude? How about Joe Flacco, man? Don't count out old Joe yet.
All he does is laugh. Yeah, he's full of joy, Joe Flacco. He just plays for the fun.
But, yeah, I mean, look, some people are saying that it's too soon to go to Jackson Dart, that you're throwing him to the Wolves, that, you know, he's not ready quite yet.
After what we just saw from Russ?
Yeah, I actually.
With a chance to win against KC? No way.
Exactly.
It'd be malpractice as a coach. The locker room wouldn't believe a thing out of your mouth from now on. The rest of the year, you might as well fire yourself.
I actually think he is kind of ready.
He is ready.
I mean, I saw the preseason. He looked great. I mean, I know it's preseason against, like, probably,
he's,
you know,
twos and threes,
second teamers. But I like, they're like, to me, if you're a quarterback, bro, you either have it or you don't. You either have the presence and the mind or you don't. It's very rare that you don't have that and then you wind up having it later in your career. Like, you always pretty much know at the beginning of a guy's career. There are a few exceptions, but not many, whether that guy can do it. And, like, I think in Jackson Dart's case, he's going to show. Tough matchup this weekend against the Chargers. But I think over the course of the season, you know, that is throwing him to the Wolves against the Chargers.
It is.
You know, I mean, it is at home, but.
But his legs will help him in a way that was, you know, impossible with Russell Wilson.
Like, I think what I would have done is I would have waited until the next weekend against the Saints to start Dart because, you know, the Chargers are 6-point favorites or whatever it is. So, but it is at home. So I guess, you know, and you're coming off such a bad performance that you just don't want to see it again.
I think if Russ had been more competitive, if you had more of a chance, if you hadn't seen what you did in the red zone, all those throws out of the back of the end zone, giving up,
yep,
then I'm with you. You try to do it ideally. That's probably what they're probably talking about that behind the scenes.
Yes.
Frankly,
yes.
Circling that Saints game.
Yes.
But you cannot, again, as the coach of that football team that's already on thin ice with your owner, because your general manager doesn't matter anymore. He's on just as thin ice. You have to do it now based on that because the locker room is done with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Ideally, they had probably circled that Saints game. But you got to do it, bro. Throw them out there against the Wolves. Some guys don't sink.
You're right.
They swim.
You're right.
And Jackson Dart seems like he's got the kind of moxie. We'll see if he can make the plays. But,
yeah,
man, I'm telling you, as an NFL, it just feels like how many more of those pocket guys can stay in there and are successful just that. What, Darnold? Like, you have to have the legs. Tell me what successful quarterback doesn't have that ability to throw the defense off completely, the game plan off completely, by whether it's buying extra time or creating offense with their legs. You have to have it now. And Dart has that.
No, he does. And you know what? Like, you're going to have to do it eventually anyway. So, it's like you can't hide in the NFL. Like, you're going to have to go out there and play.
I know Malik and them are happy.
Yes, yes.
Malik Nabers, yes. All the receivers.
Absolutely.
Was it Wandale?
Yeah.
It's
exciting. I mean, Jeffrey tweeted that this is the most excited he's been to watch a Giants game in 3 years. Now, I will say Daniel Jones leaves, and he becomes one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's hard to understand because I thought Dable was a good coach of quarterbacks. He got coach of the year Daniel Jones got his contract.
Mm-hmm. But
he's lost it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't explain it either. Because I was convinced that Daniel Jones was just a bad quarterback.
Can he what happened? Is he going to ruin Jackson Dart? Are we saying Dable's no longer good with QBs because Daniel Jones is so good and he couldn't continue to get good at him? And he's going to ruin Jack? Is he still a good quarterbacks coach? Are we okay with him around Jackson Dart and the plan?
They won't let him because they'll fire him.
Mm.
So I mean, he'll either have a good quarterback in Jackson Dart or he's gone. I mean, because you said this is the only card he had. So you're playing the card in week four. And if it doesn't work for you, you're gone. You'll be fired midseason. And he's had time. I mean, I don't know how the defense is very good. I'll give him that. He's gotten
man,
much
they got
better
some
on
dogs,
that end.
Man.
You know, Thibodeau and
Burns,
yep, and a couple of DBs.
Do my guy from the draft, from Penn State.
Yeah, Abdul Carter. Yep,
yeah.
Yep. No, they built a nasty defense. I mean, they held the Chiefs to 22, and most of that was one touchdown was just a late bomb to Thornton or whatever. I mean, you should feel like you can win that game.
That's the thing. That defense got a chance to be elite.
And they could not because the offense was so anemic. So
spend the case all year.
I think it's the right move. You know, again, I would have ideally liked to wait till next week, but Russ was so bad that
it's definitely the case.
Yeah, you don't want to make you don't want to subject your fans to one more week of that.
Your locker room.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're like, this guy is completely toast, bro.
You're gonna keep throwing him out there, and it's a recipe for disaster. You're feeding us to the wolves.
Exactly.
That's how they're looking at Dable.
No doubt.
Had to make the change.
So yeah. All right, Bruce Pearl, after, 7 years? No, actually not 7 years, 11 years at Auburn, has called it a career. He is stepping away. He is stepping into a role as an ambassador. There was some speculation that he would go into politics. He is not doing that. He is going to be an ambassador for Auburn. And, Bruce is 65, so this isn't like egregious at all. I mean, people retire at 65 all the time. Now, people who are making the money that Bruce is making, probably not. But again, I won't begrudge Bruce Pearl for deciding that now is the time. But Bruce Pearl retired at 65 in September, therefore, essentially forcing Auburn to hire his son, in Stephen Pearl. Like at Houston, it's in Kelvin's contract.
Oh,
Kellen Sampson will be the next head coach at Houston. It's in the deal. It's already done.
Did not know that. Yes. Thank you for educating me.
Done deal. This was not.
Okay.
This was a strong arm.
I see.
By Bruce Pearl. I mean, Auburn would have liked to do a search, bro. They would have liked to go out and hire their own person. Or at least, interview people.
Wow.
And Bruce Pearl, do we really think Bruce Pearl woke up on September the 22nd and said, man, I just can't do it anymore. Today's the day. I got to call it. Hell no. He got a good-ass roster, bro. He's got Tahad Pettiford. He got the transfer from UCF, Keyshawn Hall. He's got a roster down there.
Do you still make him ambassador if he strong-armed you? I like your – I mean, you're right. I mean, he waited this late, and he did strong-arm them. Would you –
I think because of the things that he's
still
done.
You still side up to him? What he accomplished in terms of building Auburn basketball, which was nothing.
He ended an 18-year – it was either a 15- or 18-year NCAA tournament drought when he got the job. So I would say yes, you do.
Seemed like willingly strong-armed then. You've been willingly strong-armed
them. Because
I think your theory is right.
He's convinced him waiting. I think Bruce has convinced them that Stephen is going to do a good job. But it's a complete joke.
Well, then why wait? Why not retire in the spring, like you said, if he had convinced them? Why wait till
before
the horn
it.
So they can't?
This guarantees it.
Well, that's a strong arm, you said.
I mean, there's no,
you ain't convinced. I mean, you waited.
Yeah.
That's how you convinced them. But
bro, there's no other explanation. I don't care what he says. I don't care what reasons get reported.
I'm buying what you're saying, yes.
He wanted to make sure two things. One, that he kept a roster. That's why he didn't do it. Because he was going to keep a roster that he could hand to his son that would give his son a chance. Because if he did this in the spring, Jason, they would have gotten no players. They would have kept no players.
And everybody can leave, right? On the coaching change?
Yes, bro. And they can leave but it's September.
I know. Right. That's why you wait.
Yes.
Because who's going to leave now at this point, right before the season's about
to
start?
Even if you'd have done it in May, or June,
But to your point, he would have lost the roster.
He would have lost
back in the
Todd
spring
Pettiford.
When he retired. Yes, yeah, and you're not giving your son the best setup.
Because Pettiford was considering staying in the NBA draft.
I remember.
Look, there's no question about this. And I'm saying this I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it either. But I mean, let's at least acknowledge what this actually was, which is separate of the job that Bruce Pearl did, by the way. I said this yesterday. Amazing coach, amazing ambassador for college basketball. I mean, he always brought juice to any game he was in, and that's a talent, and that's a credit to him, and he won a lot. But this was simply just about handing the job to his son and giving his son the best shot at it, and nothing more and nothing less, because his son wouldn't have ever had a chance to get this job otherwise, bro. He's done nothing. I mean, he's like my age. So it's like, how could you possibly even entertain that idea at a place like Auburn right now? So, I think that's the issue, right? It's like it is a blatant and a flagrant case of nepotism, like forced nepotism. And, we'll see how it goes. But that's what it was.
He was a medical sales rep up until...
You see what I'm saying?
2014?
Yes, bro. Yeah. He played for dad. He was a walk-on.
Walk-on, though.
You know, yeah. I mean, that is what... I mean, he's been coaching, you know... he hasn't really been an assistant except for, you know, 8 years. I mean, you go from assistant in Auburn, and again, you're an assistant because you're your dad. You know, this is what it is.
Well, he won't be able to keep that. Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Right.
At the level that Bruce had it, not with his inexperience.
Yes.
Auburn basketball could go back to not being a thing at all.
I mean,
it could be a big mistake for them that they've allowed Bruce's success and what he's brought, you know, maybe propel them into a nosedive.
Dan Wilkin possibly. Tweeted, is it worth two Final Fours if it means you're forced to make a Nepo hire that you'll probably have to clean up in 3 years?
And that could very well end up being the case.
I mean, is it worth to? Is it worth? Let
Probably
me ask
it
you
is
this:
to them.
If Penny Hardaway gets to two Final Fours, but then he steps down and he forces Memphis to give the job to Jaden, is it worth it?
Probably. Man. I don't. I mean, give
two
no.
Final
I mean, maybe
fours?
You need to give us the. We have Final Fours. You need to give us the championship game appearance or a win.
I say no. I'd say it's not.
No, it probably isn't. We have been down a long time since it's been a long time
no, it
since
has.
We had
no,
Sweet
right.
16.
But I mean, I just feel like you know the no experience thing is just such a killer. You know, like Auburn.
Well, his dad's gonna. That's part of staying around as ambassador, right? Is
yes.
So you can tell some of those kids it's still gonna.
Well, he'll still
be run the same way and be
exactly.
in the gym every once in a while.
But we'll see how long that lasts. I mean, I don't know. I think that it has the potential to be disastrous. Because, I mean, it won't be this year. It won't be disastrous this year because you have such a great roster. But, like, you could definitely get the least amount out of this roster. You know, like, you could definitely see this. I mean, Bruce Pearl's a great coach. So, you know, I could see this going, like, pretty badly, pretty quickly for Auburn. I mean, I don't know how many situations there are. Because, again, Houston, it's already known. It's in the contract. Like, they know what the situation is. You know, this was not supposed to necessarily be that. Like when Tony Bennett retired, yes, he did it late so that they would hire Sanchez, you know, and how'd that go? It was an awful hire.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do well, you know. So it's like how many times has a situation like this actually worked where you're forced to make a hire, whether it's nepotism, whether it's friends, whether it's whatever, and it actually ended up going well? I don't think it has. Like Jay Wright retires at Villanova. I don't remember when he did that, but they hired Kyle Neptune.
Right.
It was a disaster. So, and that was one of his guys. Now, he wasn't there, so that was actually, I don't think that's a good example, because he was at Fordham. That was just more of a, hey, he was a Jay Wright guy.
What about Richard? Did he ever follow his dad? Brick?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think. I don't think he
no,
did.
No, he was at, like, New Mexico.
Yeah,
and
he worked his
Xavier.
Own sort of way up, right? He never
Minnesota.
Followed Minnesota.
Yeah. I'm sure his dad helped him, but I don't think
it wasn't
like a handoff. Yeah.
Yeah, none of that. Ever in his career, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
Yeah,
so this is pretty rare in that case. You know, it's funny, like Bruce Pearl had a tweet that Stephen A was talking about Bronny James,
mm-hmm.
and Stephen A. Smith said, "We live in a country where nepotism has taken place with blah blah blah." And Bruce Pearl quote tweeted and said, "Preach, Stephen A." Only for him to literally like do the same exact thing, the same like it's no different. The Lakers draft Bronny James, you retire in September, so that the school has no choice. Because if you don't give them a job to Stephen Pearl, Bruce Pearl says, "You know what? No, I'm not going to be around anymore. I'm done. I'm out."
I mean, what was their basketball history though before Pearl?
No, it wasn't.
Like the purse, what Chuck? Wesley?
Wesley Person, Charles Barkley, Cliff Ellis. That's it. I mean, there wasn't one. So, I mean, that's why. Like, they were like, hey, you are our program. You are our alpha. You are our omega. We have to do this for you. But I just don't think it's going to work. I think you're going to get eaten alive in the SEC, bro. Like, the SEC is a real basketball conference. Like, Mike White is going to wipe the floor with his ass. Seriously. Like, Georgia basketball is going to beat Auburn. Like, I just haven't. It's a real conference.
The Rifleman did go there too.
Yeah.
So both brothers.
Yeah.
You know about Chuck.
Chuck, yeah, and Wesley, yeah.
The Rifleman.
Wesley, former Memphis Grizzly, had I think he had like a year maybe where he averaged like 11 a game or something.
A fan favorite.
It was a fan favorite. You know, we always like the mediocre here.
The randoms, kind of. Yeah,
the Chucky Atkins.
High energy, big three every once in a while.
Yeah. Who didn't love Chucky Atkins? Who didn't love Bobby Jackson?
OG Bobby Jackson.
Who didn't love Eddie Jones?
Eddie we loved.
Eddie Jones came here.
But not more than Posey.
James Posey.
We did not love Eddie more than we loved James Posey.
Yeah, man.
Who's high on that list.
He is very high.
One day Posey will come back to coach us.
I think so. Isn't he like with Cleveland or something?
He's an assistant somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, we really do. We do a great job of, like, if you were mediocre somewhere, like, we will accept you here, and you could put up 10 points a game, we'll love you.
Might retire your jersey.
But I think that was more of, like, I think that was more of the time. Like,
well, it was.
It was new to the Memphis still.
Yes.
So anybody that donned the jersey was, like, an honor and a privilege to us. Now it's not that. Now we'll dog cuss you if you don't play well. No. You know, it's like, it's a little, the stakes are, like, you're not getting the, you know, Chucky Atkins, Wesley Person treatment in 2025 here. If Cedric Howard gets cleared and averages 6 points a game, it's going to be like, what a bust. This guy sucks. Get him out of here.
Only y'all loved Yuki.
Well, that was more of a
kind of like a
inclusion thing.
Stuffed bear or something.
You know, I don't want to say he was a token, but he certainly was.
He made Chicago's roster.
Yuki can play. He's 5'9".
He can play on one end.
He can play on one end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his size.
Yeah.
Makes him a minus defender every night.
No question.
Facts.
We don't have to do this to you
today. And really, it's really an indictment of my Bulls, isn't it?
It kind
of
is. I didn't want to go there. I'll let
well,
you,
we've already
you do
said
that.
It. Like, that franchise is just.
Hey, the people who showed up, you chronicled this. They're going to come regardless if they're crappy or not.
No, John educated me that they're still coming. It's like a Cubs thing. We're freaking leading in attendance. I had no idea.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
No, that's why they don't. That's why they don't
Chicago's
address it
an amazing
seriously.
Sports town. It really is. Like, it just does not matter how good you are.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Bar. We're like, this town is extremely fickle.
I think it matters with the White Sox, but you're right about the other three.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if most
maybe with Blackhawks
are most know. Places more like Memphis or Chicago, like in terms of, like, you know, we go no matter what because it's happening, or we go when it's good.
Probably more towards center. I mean, we're real, like, you better win or we ain't coming. Like, yeah. Chicago's like, we don't care. Somewhere in the middle is probably the average, I'm sure.
You know, I think it probably has something to do, if I had to guess, with the disposable income, right?
Like, that's
fact. In Chicago, people make more money. There's more opportunity in Chicago. So, like, you can go to a crappy team game because you have the money. Whereas in Memphis, you know, it costs $80 to get in or whatever it costs. I don't know. But whatever it costs,
it
ain't $30 anymore.
Right.
You know, like it used to be. So if we're going to go, it needs to be, quote unquote, worth the money. I don't know.
I think that's probably right.
That would be my socioeconomic breakdown. Of that situation, but I don't know if that's exactly right. But yeah, no, I think again, I've got my Phillips 68 hat on here. If they ask me to come on video, like Goodman's clearly like caving for this whole thing, and I think it's stupid. He's gonna be better than Tony Barbee and Jeff Lebo. Well,
oh, no.
Or Lebo, or whatever, however you said his name. Yeah, I mean, dude, they ran the program when it was like nothing. When they had no money, they had no investment, they didn't care.
Right.
Like, the Bruce Pearl's got that thing to where they care now, and so he's going to have more institutional advantages than those guys had combined.
True.
So, yeah, he probably will be better than those guys by default, but that's not where they want to be. Like, if the best thing that I can say about you is, oh, the program's winning more games than when it was Tony Barbee and Jeff Lebo, come on, bro. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
It's a joke. I think it's a joke. I think it's ridiculous that Auburn felt compelled to do this because, quite frankly, if Bruce Pearl wants to retire, we'll thank him. We'll give him anything he wants in terms of a celebration and a send-off and things like that. We don't have to hire your family. Like, we didn't agree to that. That wasn't in the contract. We're a real basketball program now. You're a big part of that. But we fancy ourselves as that we've been in two Final Fours in the last 6 years. You know, we're gonna handle ourselves like that now. They are not doing that. They are not doing that.
How risky would it have been to go out there and try to pluck you some sitting head coach this late in the game?
Well, now you're screwed.
You said compelled to do it. Like
you're
Bruce backed them into a corner. They were forced to do it.
No, that's true.
And that's what you're weighing, right? The risk of...
No, you're right.
No, let's get out from under this. This is too risky. Steven's unproven.
Yeah.
You could probably have pulled one. I don't know. That would have been difficult, right? That guy's locked in with his roster.
Yeah.
Even if he sees Auburn as a better opportunity ask him to leave that late, you get yourself into, you might be missing on your first, second, third guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your season's
starting. No, you're right.
I mean, Bruce.
Bruce, really.
Your take is correct. Like, he's strong-armed him into this.
Capo, yes. Dog. Yeah, no, you're right. That's, you know, again, like.
Gave them no choice.
It just,
in a way.
I'll never be in a situation like that. You know, like, I'll never be in a situation 30 years from now where I'm going to retire in radio and say, you guys have to hire my son to do this, you know, because it doesn't fit the same way. But I'd like to believe that I would have a little bit more respect for the institution than doing that, than foisting my offspring upon them. Because he wouldn't get another opportunity. Like, to me, I would like to believe that if I'm Stephen Pearl, I don't want it this way. I don't want it like this. You know, like, I didn't earn this. I didn't. You know, there's you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of coaches who have more experience than me that deserve this job over me just based on where I am on the timeline. And again, I didn't earn it. It was given to me out of necessity. And I don't even think I'd want it that way. I would like to go out and I would like to believe that I was handed the job on merit. Now, listen, you have connections. You have people that will help you, put in good words for you, things like that. But, bro, don't hand me the job on a silver platter.
I completely get it, but you would step away?
I'm not going to say no.
That's what I'm saying. Dad's stepping away.
Yeah.
He's forced this.
No.
So as you would say, you know what, I'm going to step away because I don't want it this way.
No, when the you're right. You're going to take
and,
it. You're going to
take
it.
And he's been the associate head coach. He's telling himself he's ready, even though you and I realize he hasn't paid the dues
that
some who probably have done it longer and won't get the chance have.
That's right.
That part I'm with you 100%
on.
But he ain't stepping.
Nobody is.
You wouldn't step down.
They're going to take the money.
You're going to say, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to prove to the John Martins and the Jason Smiths.
That's right.
That, yeah, it might have been nepo to put me here, but I'm gonna take it. You know, it's what you do when you get there, like you say. It ain't where you're drafted. It's what you do once you're there.
No, that's true. I mean,
just asking, would a man really have stepped it down when dad set it up and that opportunity? Because then you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to have to go prove myself elsewhere. You're leaving yourself at the mercy of.
Well, how about this? This is what I'll say then. If it's my son, I'm not giving it to him that way.
Well, that I think is more realistic.
Because
I
need to feel like when you get that job, you got it, right? I didn't just hand it to you out of sheer force and brute force because the school had no other options. Or we cornered the school into that, mm-hmm. giving you this job.
Yeah,
I want you.
That's the right way to go about it,
right,
Dad?
Bruce doing this is like I think it's low down. For the Bruce Pearl family, it's great. They had the whole family thing in the office and things like that. But like you painted them folks into a corner, bro. You didn't give them folks a chance to do anything other than that.
Right.
And by the way, they will fire his ass if he sucks. So like, okay, you get a year out of it. You might get 2 years out of it. But here's the other thing that you do. If he isn't good with the resources that he's going to have at Auburn, he'll never get another job, bro. It's over.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be a double-edged sword for him because of the resources, yeah. because of what they've got. When he fails with it,
yes,
it'll just be a quicker exit.
But here's
quicker firing.
Here's a problem, and I've thought about this obviously overnight. Like yesterday, I focused on Bruce Pearl because I, you know, he's stepping down. And he's a great coach, and I thought he, you know, he was really good for the game. But here's the other here's a problem with Stephen Pearl having resources. Everybody else in that league got him too. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have any huge advantage over anybody in that league, bro. Maybe Vandy. I mean, you know, but even Vandy with Byington showed last year that they're here to play.
Maybe on a couple nights where he can ask his dad to come in and do the pregame speech.
Right.
Seriously, I mean,
right.
that's, you know, and that's.
I think the SEC's like, whew, man, this is, thank God. We got a guaranteed win against Auburn now.
Absolutely, dude.
Auburn used to be like a guaranteed loss.
You can't replicate that dude's intensity in the way that he could get guys to play hard for him.
Oh, man.
I don't think that doesn't transfer over just because he's got the same genes over to Stephen.
Nope.
Like the way that man could get that, we saw that back at Tennessee. Like the way he could pull it out of you with his intensity level, you're not going to get that from Son.
Yes.
And so you know that's the thing. The quality of coaching.
Yes.
Won't be remotely the same.
I also think like because I appreciate our guy Scotty for pointing this out from the players' perspective. Low down.
Yeah, because
what he's doing to the players.
They would have been given the chance
yes.
to go elsewhere
yes.
and having a real runway to look yes. at places as opposed
yes.
to
and they're
doing
stuck.
This to them.
Because everybody's NIL spent.
Yes.
Everybody's NIL is gone. It's yes. like it's in for the year. So, I mean, they're getting paid and they're getting paid well. But, I mean, them folks would not have come to Auburn for Stephen Pearl, bro. No chance. No chance. We're going to see how strong Auburn's NIL is. We're going to find out next year.
I like the way you've sort of laid out this conversation though, because a lot of people have framed this is risky for Auburn, as if they had a choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, they did not have a choice.
They don't have a choice
unless
here.
They have like a former Auburn alum that's like been a former head coach that's not doing it now. But it's like, you know, how good an option is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what they've decided is, hey, you did this to us. We have no choice right now. We're going to give him a contract because, like, what else can we do? I guess you could just give him the interim tag. You didn't have to give him a 5-year contract. You could have just said, all right, you're doing this to us. We're going to give him the interim chance, give him a chance to earn the job. Either way, I don't think it really matters or changes much. You'd have to pay him like a head coach, and then you could fire him after this year, too. I mean, I think Auburn decided we'll give it a shot because you didn't really give us a chance or a choice. And then we'll revisit. But they should feel absolutely no guilt in firing. And by the way, he gets fired, and so does Bruce.
More as ambassador?
No more ambassador paychecks from us, bro.
Yeah.
That's not how an ambassador acts, by the way.
Yeah.
An ambassador doesn't strong-arm people. An ambassador is like, hey, you know.
It's diplomatic.
Yeah. This was an invasion. This was a Bruce Pearl invasion of Auburn basketball here. And more like an occupancy,
right?
You know, occupy Auburn basketball with the Pearls. Again, like he clearly knew his son would have no other opportunity than if it was any other way, right? So, but I don't think like that as a dad. I'm not saying that makes me a perfect dad, but I don't think like that. Like, bro, you got to go out here. You got to go get it.
Yeah,
you got to go get it.
Most people who take on their, let's call it, their father's business. For example, my dad had a business. I would have had to buy him out, like legit, have a payment plan.
Right.
Like you legit would have had to, you listen to business people in Memphis all the time, they have to buy their father or their mother
yeah.
out of their business.
Yeah.
And there's usually a payment plan. There's usually some sort of accountability plan. You don't just go,
yep.
here you go.
Yep.
You know, even if you did work with the person.
No doubt. I just think I'm so staunchly against nepotism because like my life experience has been one of none of it, right? Like my mom and dad, neither of them graduated from college, barely attended college. Like I made friends who helped me. I would never deny that, you know, you, Jeff, Gary, absolutely. But I never had that built-in advantage where like you could introduce me, like my mom or my dad could introduce me to somebody that's, oh, you're this,
right.
you're the, you know, oh, your dad's such a great. I never had that, right? So I had to sort of create my own, whatever you think of it, my own way. And so to see it happen so flagrantly, I find it offensive. I do. I find it disgusting, especially in this way. It's one thing to to have a dad or a mom that can help you meet the right people.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's the way this business and this world turns, man. Mm-hmm. You make connections. You build relationships. You have ends. That's recruiting, right? You have ends. Oh, I know the AAU coach from when we did this, that, the other. You know, you have, but like to basically place this guy as if it's a search firm because you decide to retire September the 22nd and they have no choice, I find it disgusting. And I know I have to believe behind the scenes Auburn is pissed, bro. I have to believe that they're just like, we just got strong armed into hiring a 38-year-old with literally no experience outside of his dad. I mean, couldn't play in college without his dad, couldn't coach That's without his dad. I mean, and so I don't see a scenario where this goes well.
One of our sharp listeners has pointed out that Bobby Knight abruptly retired. I think his deal was mid-season.
Oh, yeah.
And Pat
and
got
what'd
it,
they
right?
do? And he was bad.
He sucked.
He was bad.
Bad.
Because guess what, bro? Here's the truth. If your son was good enough, he'd get it on his own. Would get it on his own. He wouldn't need you to do something dastardly like that and abruptly like that to get the job. Somebody would recognize it. Somebody around there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of schools and coaches. Somebody would have said, "Oh, this young man's got a chance. He's got talent. He's got this, that, the other." But these silver spoon babies, man, these silver spoon ass babies just get these opportunities handed to them. And I hate it for the players, and I hate it for the coaches out there. That's a good job. They believe in themselves now. And again, bro, this is just a temporary era in Auburn basketball. I truly believe like they'll do what they have to do with Stephen Pearl if he's not good, and they'll go get a real coach. I mean, that's just the way it is. I do think it's a little bit of a stain on Bruce's time there, though, the way that he forced this down Auburn's throat.
Pat got another gig at Lamar.
He
was good the
there.
First season. He was awful the next two, and they fired him. He won three games the next 2 years after first year Lamar.
The universe has a way. The universe typically has a way. And that's what I don't understand. Like Bruce Pearl never had that. He had to grind, bro. He had to go to Milwaukee,
Southern Indiana, yeah.
Had a rebuild at Tennessee.
I don't wish this for Stephen Pearl, but it could very well be what happens with Pat Knight.
No, I mean,
he could get a lower tier job after he gets fired from Auburn because of the name and everything else. The cachet that his dad brings to the table, and then he'll prove to not have been a program builder.
Yes.
And that everything that John is saying, that this was handed to a guy who hadn't earned it. I mean, it could very well go that way. It probably will. He'll get a lower tier job after Auburn.
Yes.
And he will likely fail at it like Pat did.
Yeah, because you didn't come up the way that you're supposed to come up, you know? Like, I mean, even a guy like Josh, right? He got the job young, but he grinded.
Yeah.
You know, he grinded his way Arizona, Mivs as an assistant, you know, he did those things without, you know, again, did Hal help Josh? Of course. But, like, Hal wasn't on staff anywhere. Like, people just knew Hal.
Oh, we used to give Josh the business, too, because he wasn't, at least early, he wouldn't get any players from Hal. He wouldn't get any out of Houston Hoops. It's like, dude, you got your dad down there. When you going to get some Houston Hoops guys up
Josh
here?
Never benefited from
he didn't
Hal.
Take it, yeah.
So,
nah, I think he went maybe a couple, but he didn't get any of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, I mean, using what your dad could, you'd think, you know, could filter your way.
Nepotism happens in this country every single day.
It's part of America.
You know, this is not new. But it is kind of new to this area of college basketball. It's been a while since Pat and Bob Knight have we seen something like this.
Well, and I can hear some other fans of other programs too on your comments about Penny Hardaway did it a different way too.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a completely different. This isn't a deal where it was handed down from a dad, a father, whatever else. But would say he didn't pay his dues in the way that we're saying Stephen Pearl didn't pay his dues.
Yeah.
That said, unique situation here, obviously.
And I would make the argument that he did make it. He did pay his dues. In a different grassroots
high school level,
And when he wore the uniform and became an ambassador and represented the University of Memphis, you know. Like, I think that's a version of paying your dues, you know, like, especially at a place like Memphis, you know. College coaching, no, but he was involved and he was very – very much in tune with what was going on in the world.
He was. That said, he had a lot to learn.
He did.
And he said as much. This ain't Jason trying to put Penny in a box.
Yeah.
About college basketball in terms of the gamesmanship, you know, goals, stating them publicly, all of that stuff. Like, there's so much more than just the X's and O's, which he clearly had.
Yep.
Probably his strength coming into it. He'd forgotten more basketball than we've ever known.
Yep.
But that part of it, right? setting yourself up on national championship first year, that those kinds of things. Like, he's made great strides with that at a time where college basketball changed.
No question.
College athletics changed. And so his ability to adjust and still be successful, no, it's proven he was the guy for the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Frank Bonner is going to join us at 125. We'll talk Memphis football, their path with him in studio. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.